Looking to get into sports betting? Well, look no further than HedgeBetter. Traditional sports is rigged anyway. Here at HedgeBetter, we're working hard to create and develop the platform that revolutionizes the future of how we as a nation view sports betting. Traditional sports betting is designed to favor books and lose you money. HedgeBetter puts the odds in your hands, cuts out the middleman, and aims to empower a future generation of sports bettors. At HedgeBetter, your bet is an asset, and we give you all the tools to maximize your profits and potential. We can't wait to come to your state soon and help you make the most of your sports betting experience. In the meantime, be sure to visit our website at www.hedgebetter.com to learn more and sign up for our mailing list. To stay up to date with all of our content, podcasts, including Steel and Naz, promotion, and events, follow us on Instagram at HedgeBetter, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and click on the link on our website to check out our blog. Everyone, it's even on Monday. Let's have a day. The date is April 7th. Episode 74. Welcome to Steel and Naz, brought to you in part by HedgeBetter from our headquarters in Braintree, Massachusetts. Tonight, we have a New Hampshire native and New England cartel member, along with Rob Fawn and Calvin Kattar. We're on the show tonight, but are with him. Nick Fury. Well, you'll hear about his name soon in the MMA ranks.
The gentleman.
We nicknamed him. How we got to start in MMA, what it's like to train with, you know, legitimate UFC contenders, and all more with that interview. I thought that went well. I think, you know, really nice kid. Seems like he's got his jiu-jitsu going.
Stud. Future looks great.
Loves the game of jiu-jitsu. Loves teaching, so you know he's passionate for it. Love to see that.
24 and 12 years in the game. Wild stuff.
We told him we'll be at his next fight. Hopefully that works out.
Hell yeah.
Afterwards, it's opening day. This week, recording on Thursday, MLB, we made our staff preview predictions. Red Sox going all the way. Steel says no, so does Magic. Me and Showtime, I think we're on the same grind here. We'll break down the Celtics playoff scenarios as they're playing the Milwaukee Bucks tonight in establishment for the second seed in the Eastern Conference. Afterwards, we went over the Devontae Parker trade for the Patriots and what are they going to do to indulge in the draft.
And a little NCAA.
Yeah, we had a little finale. Kansas took it home.
Sprinkled some Kansas on everything.
We didn't talk about the Masters, but so far so good. Sanjay and Tiger, you know, had a good first day. See if we can repeat on Friday.
Go Tiger.
We all want to see the red shirt on Sunday. Yeah, we all want to see it.
At least Saturday.
Softball season starts next week.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit.
Red Sox suck. Continue.
Dude, how's your manager? How's your angry manager with a bad attitude?
Oh, he's not angry. He just sucks.
on a more serious note, I want to give a big shout out to Tommy Fitz, one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. His sister, Emily Ann Fitzpatrick, unfortunately had she tested positive for COVID-19 over the winter and had a really bad. She was in the hospital. I think doctors told her she wasn't going to make it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she has made it, and it's been a miracle, and it's been great to see. They have a fundraiser for her next Saturday at the on 256 Freeport Street in Dorchester, Mass. Hashtag tiny but mighty. There'll be a cash bar, raffles, DJ. I think it's 6 to 11. 256 Freeport Street.
I think that's the...
That's the 103, I believe.
I think that was the Faneuil Hall Firehouse Station, like right near McKean Post.
Yep. Yeah, so it's right around there.
You got the address. Go find it. Go be there.
Yeah. Go be there.
Go show some support.
Yeah, exactly.
Me and Showtime will be there. You guys will be in Nashville, right?
We'll be in Nashville, unfortunately, but I'm going to donate money.
100%.
As I should.
Please come through.
Yeah, you know, send prayers. You know, I think it has kidney disease. I think it's like stage 5, so I think they're looking for a donor. I'm not 100% sure how that route goes, but I think the more money, the more people who support their cause. Anything you can do to help. I think that's one thing we do on the show that I take a lot of pride in. Yeah, we like to come in here every Thursday night, shoot the breeze, have fun, you know, go to the pub after, something like that. But, you know, making emphasis in, you know, people's lives, and like we did in the softball tournament where we did it for a cause. I think that's really important to do, you know, not just for a podcast, but, you know, I think in HedgeBetter and, you know, everyone in general to help the community be better. And that's kind of my two cents.
Gotta help out, absolutely. Any way you can.
We're all here together.
Yep.
Exactly.
We're gonna move on now to interview with MMA fighter Nick Fury.
Hey, what about if you just for the third mic over here, Justin?
And we're now joined by mixed martial arts fighter Nick Fury. I got that one right. Part of the New England Cartel gang. Nick, so what's going on, man? How's your training going? I know you had a big win a couple weeks back. Yeah, just tell me what's been happening, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, basically was training hard, won the fight, and then I took a day off, and then I just literally got right back to it. From being in camp to now technically out of camp, I haven't slowed down at all, really. still getting like 3 sessions a day most days, especially during the week. But yeah, man, it's just full speed ahead.
Yeah, grind continues, right? On to the next one.
It looks like you're in the gym right now. Are you rolling as we speak?
Yeah, I actually just finished. I was just teaching a class, and yeah, I came downstairs, had a little some Wi-Fi problems. Yeah. But yeah, now still got my stuff on, just chilling on the mats.
Oh, let's go.
Game ready.
Yeah, always.
Get some cardio in. So I always ask this question to MMA guys come on the show. Like, you have to be like a freak of nature and not give a shit to be like in mixed martial arts, and just tell me how you got into it. And I'm not sure if you played like the modern day sports and baseball, you know, the 4 sports you usually play in high school. What made you think about, you know, going into an octagon, whatever ring, and want to submit people or beat the hell out of them?
Well, even when I was a kid, I was just really like drawn to mixed martial arts. Just the idea of like how it's a very level playing field. You're just allowed to do almost everything. So I always thought that was really cool, and it just seemed very difficult, and that really like drew me in, you know, because you know, you kind of look up to people that do difficult things. So I always saw like people in the UFC, and I was like, man, like I want to be like those guys.
Yeah, who is the biggest guy that you were like, fuck, I want to be just like that guy? Like, who was the biggest influence right out of the gate?
I mean, I've always been just like OG, like George St. Pierre. I remember watching Anderson Silva, like just in his prime, like crushing people. Like that was a
2 of the best ever do it. Yeah.
Yeah. The right picks.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, just seeing those guys, you know, I've been in it for a while now. It'll be, it's like 11 years. I think this November it'll be like 12 years I've been training.
Wow.
How old are you?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm 24 now. Oh, so boy. I started when I was like 12.
Jeez. Wow, let's go.
Good God, that's awesome.
And what are you special in for fighting style?
What's that?
What are you special in for fighting style?
Mostly jiu-jitsu. I mean, I'm definitely working on getting pretty well-rounded. I do a lot of striking now. I have for years now. But yeah, my main discipline is definitely Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I got my black belt a couple years ago. I'm actually up for my first degree pretty soon. So so that's cool. It's What's crazy the where the time goes.
Yeah, hell yeah. Unreal. That's awesome.
So you've now had 4 professional fights, and they've all ended in knockout or submission. Just tell me, you know, it's definitely a different atmosphere. I know you've probably fought a bunch of amateur stuff, but going in there for the first time, even if there are bigger venues, I'm sure COVID kind of messed up some fights going on earlier, you know, in the last couple of years. But tell me kind of how the experience has been in, you know, professional fighting.
It's been cool, man, you know, just incrementally, you know, moving up now, you know, capturing, you know, my first professional title. It's pretty cool. You know, this last fight was it was kind of funny. I was like so geared up, ready to go 5 rounds, ready to like throw down with, you know, the kid is more of a striker. So I was like, all right, you know, like just ready for anything.
Have and
I
bang. Ended up
just taking him down real quick and just choking him. You know,
let's go.
Honestly, a little bit like when stuff like that happens, it's slightly anticlimactic. It's still rewarding because obviously you get the win and stuff, but yep. You're so just mentally ready to just go, just throw down. And then it's just like, oh, like a minute and a half, you know, like I think I spent more energy in the back, like warming up. You know, you go through this whole crazy camp and then it's over in a minute and a half. It's like,
yeah, huh.
I feel like that's why I just kind of like kept going in. Because I'm just like, all right, on to the next one.
Yeah, like, where's the next guy? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, basically, you know. I would have got on this this next Combat Zone card. It's in, like just over a week. But we're going to be leaving to go out to Vegas for Rob Font's fight. and I didn't want to risk getting injured or anything like that and not being being able to do my job and be his training partner and, you know, coach him in jiu-jitsu and stuff.
Nice. That's the next thing I kind of wanted to tackle. So being a part of the New England cartel, so you're training with guys who are, you know, far in the sport, and Rob and Calvin Kattar. Just tell me, what if they've been kind of teaching you or just what you learn from them on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, dude, I learned a ton from those guys, from, you know, from Rob, Calvin, Tom Pags, Tyson, Jake Manini, you know, the boys. All those guys. Yeah, man, Dupree, like, we got this small crew, and I feel like everybody kind of specializes in one thing, but, like, we're all learning everything. And, yeah, man, it's pretty awesome. It's like basically any question you could possibly have. Like, we got a guy that knows the answer, you know, and we're just training all the time. You know, usually we're doing at we'll do at least one session as a group, like, you know, like 5 or 6 days a week. And then, that doesn't even count, like, you know, conditioning and stuff. And, you know, sometimes, like, you know, I'm teaching classes too. So, I get an extra, like, 2 jiu-jitsu sessions almost every day. And a lot of the time they're at those too. So, you know, if we're not training once a day, it's often twice a day. So yeah, man, it's pretty awesome. It's
now you get to go to all their UFC fights. Yeah. You get to go to all their fights. Like, you make the travel with them when they go to UFC, the Apex,
yep.
You name it.
Yep. Yeah. So, we went out. The first one I went to was Rob's fight with Aldo, and then I got to corner Calvin in his last fight against Giga Chikadze, and then I'll be in Rob's corner for this one.
Awesome.
Against Chito. So cool, man. Just moving on up.
Is there an initiation process to get in this New England cartel? Like, how do they choose who gets in the cartel?
They jump you in.
What did you have to do?
You got to put up with everybody's crap. No, man, it's just like, if you're a grinder, if you're a workhorse, and
like, you know, did they come find you?
I feel like everybody kind of like earned their spot over years of trying, and then just kind of like was in at a certain point, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're all good friends, okay. So it's cool, man. It's a tight knit group.
But did they like come find you, or like knew them and separately?
It was like, so I met Rob first years ago. I was like a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. I think I was like 16 years old or something like that. And I remember meeting him, and you know, we were talk on social media and stuff. And then he started coming in, and like years later, he started coming in, and he was like training in my morning classes and stuff. So he was kind of hitting me up for jiu-jitsu, but then I would, like, you know, ask him about striking, and he would hold pads for me and stuff. And then it kind of just grew off of that, where, you know, then I'm with them, him and Calvin and Tom and everybody. And then, you know, it's been a couple of years now, and now it's just like a full crew where we're just helping each other all the time.
Team's all here.
Yeah, cartel ready for war, baby.
Yeah, you know it, man.
We love it.
Beneficial for everybody, and it's freaking awesome. Like, you know, making the walk and just like having everybody with you and out back. And, you know, especially like for Tom and I being the up and comers, we can always like, you know, we can draw on like Rob and Calvin's knowledge, because, you know, having their knowledge
through their experience,
that took them, you know, all this time to cultivate. Now Tom and I get it earlier in our careers, you know, so that's very helpful. And plus, man, I remember my last fight, you know, I was all nervous and stuff, and, you know, I make the walk, I'm in the cage, and I had a moment where I was like, man, I was like, Rob and Calvin are fighting like the best guys in the world, man. Like, what am I doing right now? Like, this is nothing.
Yeah.
No problem. And so it was cool that I was able to kind of like take that from their experiences, you know, just being on the sideline, it made me feel more confident. So
yeah, that's a kind of serious question I wanted to get at. You know, so Rob fought Jose and Calvin fought Max, and two, you know, probably potential Hall of Famers, obviously came up short against both of them. Did that, you know, the way they kind of handled that, because they were both went out like bad men. Like they grinded through both those fights, even though they both lost. Did that really teach you anything of how they handled that whole experience?
Yeah, man. It's just like those guys have no quit in them. And it's just when you're in the room every day with people like that, it's like how could you not try and be that way, you know? So I feel like everybody's kind of like that. Everybody's like a true grinder. We're all working real hard, you know. Days we don't want to, we're in there still. And you know, I haven't had to be tested like that yet in my career. I'm sure it's gonna happen one of these days. But man, I hope I can you know, can make them proud
too. Oh yeah,
you know, that's some pretty big shoes to fill. Absolutely. Behind those guys. That's
watching Kelvin like just keep going against Max was nuts. That was one of the toughest bastards I've ever seen in my life. That was all time.
My father doesn't even watch mixed martial arts, but I was watching it with him. He was like, "Who the hell is this guy? He's just like taking all these hits and coming right back at him." That was very impressive, even on the losing end.
Kept going. Yeah.
What I want to touch on too, I also saw a bunch of the coaches' posts after Rob's fawn, and especially and to that same like idealistic of the mindset of that grinding mindset was like, so proud of everything you accomplished. Like, let's get right back in the gym. Like the next day, I think they were right back into rolling, like getting back after it, like training, getting for the ready for the next fight. So definitely a lot of kudos to you guys.
Absolutely, it's like win or lose, we're all right back in there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, nothing pushes you like a loss,
right?
You know,
yeah, it's just like
to the 10th degree, you know, it's just like it really puts a fire under you. So, you know, it's cool. I'm truly fortunate to be working with these guys.
That's what I was going to say too. Even you like going to these fights with them, it probably makes you think like, wow, I want to get here someday. Like, I want to fight in the UFC. You know, it just it makes you even more motivated and pumped up, being like, these guys are here, and, you know, I don't want to disappoint them, so I got to keep doing my thing and get there, right?
Yeah, man, absolutely. And also it sort of, like, makes everything so much more, like, it seems more attainable, you know, when we're training at the Performance Institute and we're, you know, at the Apex Center, at the fights and stuff, and we're seeing these guys that are fighting and training with guys in the UFC, and it just makes it like much more of like a, you know, like I said, it's like an attainable goal now. Like, it's like, oh, I'm here, I just need to, you know, win some fights and get to this point, instead of like this like dream that's just in your head now. Now you're actually physically there seeing all these big name guys, and you're like, hell man, like these guys can all do it. Like, why can't I?
You're like, you're training with the guy that's like on the poster for the next UFC. It's like, fuck, that's going to be me. Like, I can see it. Like, I'm with you, man. I love that. That's
running
awesome.
Any of the bigger names when you've been at some of these fights? Talk to any other famous fighters?
What's that?
You meet any other famous fighters or anyone noticeable at these fights when you've been going there?
Oh, yeah, man. Like, especially at the Performance Institute, everybody's there. We've seen, like, you know, Francis Ngannou's there, and then, like, you know, Aljamain Sterling walks by, and then it's like, you know, it's just like all, like, a lot of big name guys, just like kind of chilling, just doing their thing, getting their workout in, you know. It's pretty cool, man. Like, especially when it's like multiple guys like that, like in the same room, you're just like, man, what the hell?
Yeah, right. Fuck.
Is Ngannou as scary as he is online as he is in person? I'm guessing he's probably a little bit scarier.
Dude, he's just a brick shit house, dude. Just a massive guy.
That's a good way to put it.
It's funny. We were watching him just like, this was before a surgery, and he was just hitting some pads and stuff. And it's just, you know, like a heavyweight, like a true heavyweight, man. Just power.
Power. Is that guy's hands okay? Like, okay. Good God. Yeah, that guy's a house.
What is the road to the UFC? Like, what is that for you? Like, how do you get to that? First UFC fight.
Right now, talking with Tyson, it's looking like, you know, win a few more fights, get some more experience, and then probably like get on the Contender Series.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Perfect. That'd be sick.
That's awesome.
You know, so that's kind of looking like it's the way up as of right now. You know, who knows? Maybe we'll win some fights and we could just get Rob and Calvin both got in like off of their like, I think a fight fell out for both of them. Actually, I'm pretty sure they just had a fight fall through. And then they just got the call. Hey, do you want to take this fight? And then, you know, then they're in.
Chris, I'm sure you're ready if that call comes in.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you work out with Chris, but Chris Martino got in that way too, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've never trained with him or anything, but yeah, I think that's correct.
We've talked to him. Good guy. We talked to him like the week after the O'Malley fight, and he was like ready for round two.
Also an extremely tough guy.
So tough. Oh, yeah, dude, just like a freaking Terminator walking forward. And it's funny how much like publicity he got for that fight. Like he blew up just overnight, you know? Yeah. So good for him, man. That's awesome.
I mean, Sean O'Malley still kind of talks about it. He's like, dude, I don't know why that guy couldn't go down. I don't know if I'd call it cardio, but they have a name for it. It's called tardio. He's like, his brain and his body just weren't talking. He was just like, no, you're good. Keep going.
Yeah. Just move forward, dude. Move forward.
Yep.
Do we got a nickname yet, Nick?
Whatever it is.
you got a nickname yet?
No. No, I don't.
Nicky Knuckles, you like that?
Mostly just like joking ones, but no, I don't have anything, official.
Could we try to come up with one for you? Like, I don't know, Nicky Knuckles to Magic's Point?
Nicky Knuckles is a bad one.
I'm all ears.
Nick, Showtime Fury.
Little Bruce Buffer right there.
Somebody said the real deal. Once, Fury. That's like the obvious one, just Fury.
Hey, sometimes the obvious one's the one to go with.
Sometimes you gotta let it ride.
Nick Fury. Yeah. I like that.
Jake, my our Muay Thai guy. He calls me Flower Power because Fury means flower.
Okay, that's original. You won't see that every day.
Yeah, that'll be talked about. That'll get you out there.
When you get in the UFC and you win on your way out, you got to start throwing flowers at everyone. That'd be good.
Yeah, that's the one where it's like, I better be winning. But do
not get knocked out with that.
Maybe wait for your second UFC win before you start getting the flower tattoos.
Establish the foothold. Yeah.
What the hell?
Now, Nick, sorry.
Whatever gets the eyes on you these days.
Exactly. Of course, absolutely.
Whatever it takes. Tickets. You see the Jake Pauls of the world and people like that.
Yep. Dude, I mean, being a good talker, like, that can get you further than just winning fights.
You see McGregor, too, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the key is doing both.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can talk as much as you want to talk. If you go in there and suck, no one's going to – you look like an idiot.
Yeah, but you only get like one or two shots at that.
Yeah.
You got to definitely talk with your fist, but a smooth talker, good trash talker usually gets the views 100%.
And Nick, what weight do you fight at? What comfortable at?
I fight at lightweight, 155.
Oh,
nice.
You have to cut for that? You kind of cruise at that weight anyways?
Yeah, I mean, I'm walking usually like – between 175, 180, and then I'll just cut down.
What was it like your first ever fight, like your first time, like going hard in the fucking octagon? Like, what was like your, not even like a professional or even amateur fight, like just first time in the octagon, like letting it rip with another dude in there, like you guys are going hard. I don't even know if you won the fight or whatever, but like taking those hits, what did it feel like? You loved it?
Yeah, it's a weird thing, man. I ended up choking the guy to sleep my first fight.
Oof.
And obviously, like, I'm doing so much jiu-jitsu. Choking somebody is like nothing. Like, it's hell yeah, you get the win. But yeah, when throwing punches and kicks and stuff, you know, when you're like, okay, like, because like you do a jiu-jitsu match or wrestling or whatever, like, the goal is not really to hurt them. Mm-hmm. It's just to control them.
Mm-hmm.
But then when it's like you get in the ring and you have to shut off, like, you know, when you're a little kid, you know, that's one of the first things you learn to get like integrated as a child is don't hit people. And now it's like, all right, go in there and fuck that guy up. It's a weird thing. You kind of got to get over, right? You know? But then it starts to become kind of fun, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you're on the dishing out end. But yeah, man, it's a weird thing. Definitely. It's an unorthodox way to make a living.
100%.
Yeah, and was jiu-jitsu just like the natural fit for you? Like you just took after it like right away and it just clicked off? Or
yeah, that and also like it was just more like available. Like there was more jiu-jitsu classes and I was just kind of naturally inclined to do it. but I still love striking. Like I'm passionate about Muay Thai and boxing and stuff. I put a lot of time into it. It's kind of funny. Like my last couple fights, especially, I've been like super ready to like break out the striking and show everybody that I'm well-rounded, but I ended up just like, once I take guys down, a lot of the time I can just end up submitting them.
Yeah.
So,
whatever it takes, yeah, whatever it takes.
45 seconds later, rear naked choke. Yeah. See ya.
I find myself sometimes in the position of like, oh, I could strangle this guy, but I almost like don't even want to, you know, like, I'm like, oh, I kind of want to like keep the fight going. And I'm like, man, like that's a pretty good spot to be in, I guess, if you're like having the option of if you want to finish the fight, but like
toying with your prey.
Yeah, that works. That way,
toying with going, you know. But yeah, man, I'm sure I'll appreciate the less grueling fights.
100%
later down the road when I have some more tough ones.
The wars come out. Yeah, absolutely.
Because they will come.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm ready for them. I'm ready for them. Absolutely. But we'll get there when we get there.
So you being a lightweight and a lot of the big names in the UFC, like a lot of the bigger ones, they're in the lightweight division. Like who would be the number one that like you would want to mix it up with? Just like see what happens, Gaethje or whoever. Whoops, my bad.
Dude, 55 is stacked.
Oh, I know. There's an army of them.
I don't know, man. I mean, Everybody's just a beast, you know, like, especially you look at those top tier guys.
Chad Mendez.
I mean, superstars, dude. Like if I could throw down with Charles Oliveira one day, two jiu-jitsu guys, you know, he likes throwing the front kicks and stuff, kind of that long style.
He's got it all, man. He's got so much.
Yeah. I loved how,
I love watching him. He's a killer.
Yeah, like Gaethje talking about their upcoming fight was like, like if I'm not better at him than striking, then I'm just fucked. Like he was like, I don't stand a prayer. And it's like that's just how good old.
Well, his last fight was Poirier, right?
Yeah,
yeah, and I'll give Poirier credit. He held his own the first round. I think he almost knocked out Oliveira.
It was close, yeah.
But then Oliveira came and did what he does well, and I think he submitted him. Right,
that's what he did about Chandler. Chandler almost beat Oliveira in the first round, and then the second round, I think he knocked him out in like 15 seconds.
That. That was a good back and forth. He clipped him good in the first, and that's the thing about guys at that level. It's like you hurt him, and whereas like you know lesser men would just be done there. Like those guys are just still in it. And going back to, like I said earlier, that's a big part of why I love MMA so much. Cause it's just like, I feel like the guys that can rise to the occasion and just like own that moment are just like true badasses, man. I think it's so cool, you know? And I feel like a lot of, you know, training and fighting and competing and stuff also like, I really like how it sort of transcends just competition and just fighting. You know, I feel like it helps kind of hone you as like a person and stuff, you know? So there's definitely a lot of benefits in that aspect too.
You gotta be super disciplined to do the stuff you guys do. I mean, like you said, training three times a day. No, normal people aren't doing that. They're not even capable of thinking to do that.
Yeah, some people don't even work out.
We don't even work out. So, some people do.
Even to your point of like the actual fight, like you wanted to show everything you had, but if you can just take them down, submit them like that, and you just got to take it the way you can give it, if that makes any sense.
Man, it's one of those things. It's like you can't plan on like, okay, here's what I'm going to do in the fight. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to knock them out like that. It's like, just whatever happens in the fight is just kind of whatever happens. Yeah. And I just find myself stylistically a lot. Just, you know, I usually end up taking guys' backs and just strangling them.
I mean, I think
which is cool, right.
It's solid strategy.
Of, you know, yeah, man, it stands the test of time. You know, it's the highest percentage submission, the rear naked choke. And also I feel like there's the added benefit of, you know, I don't really have to like beat the shit out of somebody to where, you know, they're all fucked up too. Like I'm even like, I'll do it. Hell yeah. I'll throw down. But, you know,
you feel like you're doing them a favor
fight and like, yeah, man, like this guy can go home and get back to his training too.
Yeah.
Like that's fine. I'm fine.
Just a quick nap.
What a gentleman.
Yeah. What a guy.
We should call you Nick the Gentleman Fiori.
The gentleman.
I like that. That's good.
And also, going back to that that game plan strategy, Mike Tyson said it best. Everyone has a game plan in fighting until they get punched in the nose.
Yeah. Oh,
boom.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. And I feel like it's one of those things. Everybody's got a plan until
they don't.
You know, until someone takes your back and they're trying to strangle the wife out of you.
till the debating whether or not they'll be a nice guy tonight or not.
Yeah, right. And you know, it's funny because I'm trying to strangle you, but if I can't strangle you right away, I'm just gonna start punching the shit out of them. So there's that too.
The easy way or the hard way?
Yeah, yeah. What do you want, pal? Take it
cold or alive?
Nick,
yeah, pick your poison, man.
Nick, what's your end game here in mixed martial arts? Obviously, you want to get to the UFC, but what's like the most important thing to you to get out of this sport, your career?
I mean, obviously, I'm gonna take it as far as I can go. You know, if I can get a world title one day, hell yeah, that's what I'm shooting for. But I'm also, you know, end game. I feel like after everything, I really enjoy teaching and stuff. So that's kind of always been like on my mind too, is I'm also fighting to, you know, develop a resume and have real experience. So then when, you know, when the day does come, I got my own gym and stuff and people are going to want to come train with me.
We'll call it the Gentleman's Club.
I like that. Yeah.
I hope he goes with the gentleman.
I like it.
It seems like all you New England, or you, at least Font, like Rob Font was a big guy. He said he loved teaching too. We haven't talked to Calvin. I'm assuming he probably loves it too. Maybe, is it just an MMA guy thing, or you got to be a certain kind of person to like the teaching aspect?
I mean, I mostly teach jujitsu now.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be more like jujitsu and like some MMA stuff. But I don't know. We'll see. I like it all, man.
It's
I
a
like
circle of life. Too. Someone taught you. You have to pass it off to the youngins and see what they do with it. You know,
live with all. You know, you can't let it stop at you.
Agreed. No way.
Love that. UFC 273 this weekend. You like any of these upsets here? You got Gilbert Burns versus Chimaev there. Dude, you got Sterling Yan.
I keep switching back and forth with Burns and Khamzat. Oh, man, that's such a tough one. I was feeling Khamzat. Today, I was watching a bunch of videos on him and stuff, and I was like, man, I'm kind of feeling Burns now. I don't know. That's a tough
one. Burns is a huge dog, though. Like, this, like, he's
a killer. Yeah, no, he is, like...
He's a huge underdog. Really, like,
Yeah, I feel like he could definitely pull it off.
100%. I hope he can, because I feel like it's the first main competition he's going to have fighting in Gilbert Burns, who's a bad man himself. Yeah.
They ran into each other like behind the scenes today. Like they were both like in like towels, and Kyle was just like, "Be ready." He was like, "I smash you."
Probably pulled out his python.
Yeah, like, like fucking
Jesus. Is this Khabib's cousin?
I'm feeling Jan.
No, it's like the scary guy.
You like Jan over Sterling?
Yeah,
that's a safe one. That's a safe one.
I feel like based off of the first fight, like it was competitive, but I feel like especially like Jan like starts to overtake people after like the second round. So like third, fourth, and fifth, I feel like he's really going to start pouring it on him. I feel like once he makes his reads and like gets his timing and stuff, he's a tough guy to deal with.
Oh, yeah, because Jan had all the timing and stuff down in that first one, and then he just bucked. Like he just kneed him in the head and just like ended it. Ruined it.
Too focused on just fucking that guy.
Yeah,
up, man.
Yeah, no mercy. And it was just like, you had to show a little bit right there.
And then, it's fast, man. Things happen.
Oh, of course. Yeah. No, I mean, that's me as a spectator saying to do that. Like, obviously, definitely. In the thing, it's tough to, like, not hit him. Like, I get that.
And then Volkanovski's on a tear. He's playing, he's fighting the Korean zombie. I think he should, you know, take that one, no problem. What do you think on that? You think the Koreans
I'm feeling Volk on that one. Yeah. Although, dude, I mean, the Korean zombie is like a veteran. He's a killer too. I'm interested to see what he's gonna do. I'm interested to see how he's gonna deal with the leg kicks and stuff. Because Volk's fast, man. He's you can tell that guy's so powerful too. Especially since he was like 200 and something pounds.
Yeah.
Like at one point, like that's pretty crazy that he's fighting at 45 now.
Dude, I remember his like all the leg kicks from the first Max Holloway fight. Like Holloway's face was like fucked up. Like there were cuts and like it was puffed up and stuff. And he got leg kicked so many times. The trainers in the corner like didn't even touch his face. Like, yeah. It was just ice just on his legs. Like, that's, like, all they could do to, like, help him. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and he doesn't throw, like, quick little touches. Like, he rips
ropes. He's hammering you. Like,
So, it's cool, man. I'm excited. This is going to be a good card. I'm definitely going to watch it.
Let's go.
Absolutely. As will we. Yeah, we'll be watching, too. Are you going to the fight? No. Or,
well, when's Rob's fight? We'll showcase that. Who's Rob's opponent again? I forget.
Marlon Chito Vera.
Oh, yep. Oh, nice. And when is that? Is that in May?
It's the like 30th, right?
Oh, sorry, end of the month. Nice.
All right.
Yeah, April 30th, I think. That's a fight. Yeah, that's a Saturday. Yeah.
And it's at the Apex in Vegas.
Yes.
Nice. Let's go. Big shout out to the New England Cartel. We'll all be rooting then. Rob's our guy.
We'll look for you. We'll look for you walking down there. You'll be walking with them in the corner and everything.
We'll get a picture of you in the corner, throw it up on Twitter, see if it gets interacted with. That'd be good. Good stuff.
Yeah, perfect.
And we'll be looking forward to your fights in the future too.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, if there's a local one, we'll have to get there, man. We're always looking to go to, you know, people coming on the show's fights. And I feel like for the most part, outside of a couple exceptions, everyone who comes on the show ends up winning.
At least the first one.
Definitely have a winning record.
At least the first one after the show.
I'm sure I'm going to try. It's looking like June or July for I'm going to fight on Combat Zone again.
Nice.
So I'll defend the title.
Is that venue in New Hampshire or is it Mass?
So we do shows in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Oh, yep.
And then the one that I won the title at was at Encore. In Boston.
Yeah. Wow.
Or Everett, actually.
Well, if you're at Encore again, we're there.
Yeah.
We're there 100%. If it's at Manchester.
Manchester, we're like 90%.
Yeah.
Manchester's a great time. I go up
there. I hope it is, though. That's a really cool venue. That was fun fighting.
Yeah,
there.
I saw the Dan and Ninko show did like a live podcast from there. They had like Tommy Guarano who's on our platform too. So I saw a bunch of the content from over there.
Oh, that was that thing?
Yeah, maybe we set up a live show for your next fight. We'll be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I love it.
Good.
Sounds good.
Nick, appreciate the time tonight, man. Best of luck. And we're not just saying that we're going to be at the fight. We will actually be there.
Literally, yeah.
Beautiful.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Let's go. Let's go. Good luck.
Have a good rest of your night.
Have a good one, buddy.
We'll see
you. Eddie, gentlemen.
Yeah.
2022 is here. Do you have your resolution? Here's an idea. Make your way down to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance located in Braintree, Mass. Owned and operated by Coach Craig Kelly, you can be assured you are getting the best training around. Whether looking to improve your health or gain a slight edge on your competition, this is the gym for you. Group fitness classes as well as personalized one-on-one training are both available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com as well as follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. It's time to get fit, so let it rip.
And that was MMA fighter Nick Fury. It's a good interview there. Kind of makes me, I don't know, shake because we all know Nick Fury from Quincy, so it's funny to see, you know, another
good guys,
one in there.
Good guys.
You know, always good to have a guy in the New England Cartel hop on the mic here and really shoot the shit.
Cartel, brother. Cartel.
Up and coming star.
Exactly. Superstars only.
We're going to move now in. Of course, Anton misses the night that he's only useful for as MLB opening day starts this weekend. Actually started today, but I really don't count until the Red Sox and Yankees, you know, match up for game one, which is Friday. Today's Thursday. So, it's going to be a hell of a year. I think the Red Sox are at a good point here. I think Steele's Yankees, Anton's Rays, Magic's Rays, whatever you want, and then Toronto looks like a heavy juggernaut on that end. So it looks like this American League East is looking real stacked, huh, Steele?
It's unreal. It's going to be a four-way fight to the death. Can't wait. Going to be a blast. I personally think the Blue Jays got it.
You think?
I think that lineup's too stacked. I think too stacked. Like, the way the Yankees lineup is stacked with a bunch of people who are kind of like home run or bust, their lineup stacked with a bunch of people who literally like rake.
And I
they like hit for average and shit.
Who they got?
I have to like.
I don't name some guys.
Go back and like look at. You know the essentials. You know that George Springer who's been there, done that, won a World Series, almost a Stanley Cup with the Houston Astros back in 2017. Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's been one of the top hitters in the league, no doubt. Bo Bichette is an absolute unit.
Just got Matt Olson.
Unbelievable player. Matt Olson, he's on the Braves, right? Matt Olson.
Matt Chapman. They got one of them.
Third baseman, boom. Okay, Kevin Biggio. I don't know too much of do you know who Teoscar Hernandez?
That guy rakes. He drops bombs.
Shukri last week was talking to him up a lot.
He drops bombs.
He had 34 bombs, 101 ribbies last year. So that's a
but
team.
I'm pretty sure he's one of the like boom and bust guys. Like I don't know what his average was, but I don't think it's high.
But this whole team is a boom or bust team, man. They always bust. No pun intended, Magic. But to my point is, whenever they say Toronto's finally going to be good, they never end up doing what they're supposed to do. And you have all these teams and the Red Sox who are coming off a great postseason appearance there with a good starting nine coming back. Hopefully, Evaldi pitches well. Really looking forward to see what Tanner Houck can do for this pitching staff. Nick Pivetta, another guy who had a solid year last season. Hopefully Chris Sale can eventually come off the injury list and really get things going. You have the Yankees who are always there every year for the most part. Just can't get it done since 2009, right, Steele?
I'm on to this year. I don't live in the past like you.
And then you
still bring up your 26 trophies.
Seven. Grow up.
Exactly. That was a test.
I'm here, buddy. I'm here. I'm locked in. It's open at day.
Sox are looking good this year. I got a good feeling for the season. So, yeah, good bet by Dakota. You guys see what he's putting down this year? 20 grand for 84.5 wins for the Sox.
I am a Red Sox hater. That is a lock.
Absolute lock.
That's an amazing
wins. I heard that. I was like, that's not bad at all. Like, what is that? Right?
You guys still aren't making the playoffs, but you guys will get 85 wins.
We'll be in the playoffs.
Don't be silly. You know what? You guys are going to start hard.
Yeah, that's like a 500 season.
Yeah, that's like sucking. That's like,
not that good.
Good bet by Dakota.
No, you guys are great. You guys are going to go all the way. There's nothing that can stop the Red Sox.
You're the man.
What do you think the payout is on that? Like $1,000?
No, it's probably pretty even. It's probably like $20 to win like $17.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have.
Why didn't we make that?
There's no way you guys get under 85 wins. No way. There's no way you guys get under that.
I'm calling 100.
So what do you think about the Yankees? Yankees going to win more than 85 games?
With Aaron Boone, no. I need that guy to go fucking down. They re-signed him. They re-signed the worst manager in the sport, and I hate that. They're probably going to re-sign Aaron Judge maybe by the time this podcast airs, because that's in the works right now, which I love. This is Gerrit Cole's Cy Young year. Going to happen. There's like every other elite pitcher is like out of the AL at this point, most of them anyway. So I think that's going to be a lock.
On the Red Sox side, I'm really concerned about, last couple weeks, they were talking about Xander Bogaerts' contract, and I love Xander, and I hope he comes back. But you know what? They have a guy in Trevor Story where they can move over to shortstop. They have a lot of minor leaguers that, come in and really fit it. I love Xander Bogaerts. Again, I can't say how much I enjoy watching him play baseball, but at the end of the day, shortstop's a lot of diamond dozen in this league. To my point, is Rafael Devers turned down whatever offer they gave him this morning or last night, whenever it was. That's a guy you need to keep because he's literally a top. This is like Mookie Betts all over again. This is going to be a top 10 guy in the league this year, at least offensively. The guy is a bad
is
man.
Is he leaving or just turned down the money?
He turned down the money that could be open by the end of the season.
God is good.
He'll be a Yankee by then.
Yeah, if God is good, that's my third baseman.
Magic, when they get into the season, they don't like to talk like contracts. Which I'm sure your rough and rowdy thing was like once you got into it you didn't want to talk about the next one until it got by. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Devers and Bogaerts leaving the Red Sox would be huge.
That would suck.
Huge, particularly Bogaerts. I'd rather him leave. Devers is probably like better, but Bogaerts hurts me more. Like that guy kind of fucking
he's a killer.
Owns me. Yeah,
Devers is gonna be an MVP candidate this year, no question.
Maybe.
He was great. He was great in spring training. I know spring training.
With Josh Donaldson now, he's the second best third baseman.
Oh, come on.
I just think he needs to stay consistent. That's like the main thing for his problem. Like he'll be good to, I don't know. Like sometimes I feel like he has such hot spells of just like striking out, not getting hit, like taking bad balls, like swinging at crazy pitches. Like, and then he'll just turn it on like towards the end of the season.
He is one of the biggest though, Devers, like out of respect, like when he turns on one, it's just like, all right, well that's 2 miles down the road. Like, that thing's gone.
This is
he crushes it.
This is an easy answer, and it's no offense to you, Magic, at all. I'm not trying to pin it at all. But who do you think has a better batting average by the end of the year? Jackie Bradley Jr. or Magic Mike in softball? It's not even close.
Me.
Yeah, no, by far. Thank you. If Jackie Bradley Jr.
I'll keep track.
Bats 195, I will be happy. Imagine that.
That's pretty weak.
It's awful.
That's weak.
But I will take it. If he hits like 15, 20 bombs, bats $1.95, keep the nickel.
I love that you don't give him 200.
I'm
going to
bring a journal this season, keep track of my games, just to see how I do.
I'll do it for you.
All right.
Yeah, there we go.
I want to know my stats this year.
My other team with all like the older guys, we got like they like keep stats. I got like the stats the other day. That was like...
What'd you bat?
That was a lot to handle.
Banana land to me.
What did you bat?
I don't need
to... Oh, come on, dude. All
right. I had like bat 500, hit like 5 bombs.
500?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, look at the modesty on this fucking
guy. You don't have 500 for the pub.
Oh, yeah, I definitely do.
You think you do?
Oh, I know I do.
Stats will be kept.
I'd like to bet stats on that.
Okay, okay.
Speaking of stats, you guys see the new UDL boys are going to have a live stat update post-tournaments?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Locked and loaded. UDL, get ready.
Yeah, those guys are firing up. Just listen to
the I heard them talking about some guy. I saw them post something on Instagram. Some guy plays with a SIG, like, mid-game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want to match that. Yeah, well, no, I got to see how good I am. I feel like I'm going
to
suck.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. Yeah,
it's a lot of reaction. It's a tough game. I used to play up at school. And
gotta be quick.
Yeah, you got to be quick on your feet, man. You can't just drink.
Excited to try it.
You got
to
be diving. You got to, like...
Oh, I'll get dirty. I'll get dirty.
They had a bunch of like sports cards.
You ever
made
seen
up
me play
year?
Catcher in softball? I put other guys to shame.
Oh, come on.
That's fucking true.
Okay.
I dive for balls as a catcher.
He dives,
that's
he goes nuts, but those other catchers catch it. That's the fucking difference.
I catch it.
I was just gonna say you don't really have to dive as a catcher. Like you have like a 10-foot radius.
I'd say
you.
My weakness as a catcher is fucking Naz's strikes coming in at the plate, and I get a little fucking scared when big boys coming at me 100 miles per hour. I know they want to kill me.
Do your job, buddy.
Coming in
Do
hot.
Your job.
Someone was coming in hot last year, and I just got petrified.
Paul Curran, when he was a catcher, almost got like his ACL torn. He got tuned up behind the fucking
thing. He led the league in sliding into first base. That was like feet first.
Feet first,
that
which
wild.
Is nuts.
Can we get a pub prediction for our season?
Banner 2.
How many games are there? How many games?
Banner 2.
I'm going to just like hypothetically say there's
like
30 games. I'm going to say 28-2 pub championship. Let's go.
That's a lot of pressure.
No chance. We got to play 80.
You know how many guys just get tired like after work and just don't want to come?
All right, so you disrespect. I would say 25-5 then.
I hope. You know what?
18-12 would be nice.
I don't even
grow up.
I don't even care if we go 2-28 as long as the playoffs are the only thing that matters.
Very true.
Do you make it anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, then, go like 6-24. Yeah, be the 8 seed.
Play the underdog role. Play the underdog role.
My other team, Maliki's, wearing a real... Who's going to pitch for us, actually? I won't even bring up Maliki's problems.
We'll keep that under close.
I'm the rock.
I'm now the general manager of the team. Cooper's the acting head coach.
Gross. But...
I'd love to know who you got lined up pitch.
I've been known to be an ace.
We'll have some tryouts.
We'll see about that. Showtime.
Back to the major league diamond.
So I got AL East. I got Toronto, Yankees wild card, Rays wild card. Red Sox don't make shit.
By the way, I didn't know there
were three wild cards.
So how does that work?
The it's kind of like hockey. The third wild card team plays like the number one division winner.
Oh, so they all play in the wild card
round. I lied. The third division winner, like the worst division winner, plays them, and the top two get a bye. And it's a 3-game series.
Oh, so there's 4 teams playing in the wild card round.
Yes.
The bottom division plays the bottom of the wild card.
Yes, and then it's
top
1-2
wild cards
against each other.
I gotcha. That's actually pretty neat. It gets more teams involved and more flags, more fun.
That's
right?
A tough bye week. I don't know if I like that bye week.
No, I don't like
there.
That at all for baseball.
I don't think I like
especially
that.
Especially October, it's getting a little cold. Getting
baseball,
a little breezy.
Baseball, I don't want a bye week at all.
Nah,
football,
like
you
that.
Want a bye week?
Yeah.
Baseball, I don't want a bye week one bit.
Yeah,
Aaron Judge is hitting like 600, and like we have to sit through a 3-game series. I don't want that.
Yeah, for me, I put it on Twitter today, but I think there's going to be one AL East team left out. I think that's going to be the Tampa Bay Rays. I think the Red Sox are going to take care of business. I think they're going to win the division. I think Toronto's going to have a good chance of, you know, getting this wild card. And Toronto's a team for me that's going to go deep in the playoffs. I have them going in the ALCS, taking a step forward. Yankees will get in there too. I really don't know how those matchups are going to go. What bottom?
The bottom
division team is going to have to be. It's going to have to be Chicago, whoever comes out of the AL Central, because I feel like the Astros have no comp either. I don't know. Chicago's a real team to look out for, though. They have a lot of good players. Jose Abreu, Juan Makata there, and
Tim Anderson.
Who's a center fielder? He's a savage. Huge guy.
Fuck. I can't even think of his name. Luis.
Yeah. Not that. That's all I'm going.
I'm gonna have to pay attention. I don't know any of these people.
Yeah, I've heard stories.
They have a great pitching staff too, though. That kid Dylan Cease. He's a stud.
Lucas Giolotta is a beast.
Dallas Keuchel's
and
on
then
there,
and then Kopech too, right?
Yep, and they got Kopech. Yeah, they got a bunch of studs right there.
Savages.
Dylan Cease, one of them. He's +1400 for the Cy Young.
I almost called him Brandon Kopech. Big shout out to that loser, huh?
That would have been nuts.
Yeah. Anyone else got any baseball predictions? You want to go off about the Rays over there? Randy gonna have a year?
Long a year. Let me see. I'm not gonna fucking waste my time talking pre-fucking first game of the year. I'll pay attention though. I'm gonna know that team inside.
To your we'll to your point later. Of like,
it's way too long
of
it's,
predicting championships of any
it's
sport.
So tough.
Baseball's the toughest.
Way too tough. Yeah.
You could
the Sox could suck in 2 weeks and we'll be jumping down their throats. Let's be honest.
That's why I like doing that on Twitter in the beginning of the year, putting all of it, because by the end of the season, like, you're smoked. Like, you don't need, I'm not even going to come close.
I hate your pick, though. I saw Anton call you out. Good. I was like, I almost wanted to hop on, and I was like, I'm not even going to bother.
Hop on what pick was this for?
He's got the Sox winning the fucking division, which I think is asinine.
Truly really disgusting.
I really thought you were over your homer disease, but
the water's warm. The water's warm. When you get those fans in Fenway Park with those hot dogs, that
fan
green
power.
Monster, boom. And
fan
get the
power.
Job done.
Fan power, but I just don't. They're not even close to the best team in the division as is right now.
They're all good. You can't even name the best team in the division. All good.
Wait until you see the Sox on Friday. Wait until you see them on Marathon Monday. This team is about to roll this year.
I can't wait till they get
see you tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, if they get their asses kicked tomorrow, I'm not coming for you. But I can't wait for the overreactions after the first game of the year. When
there's nothing better than the there's nothing better than opening day. It's all crumbling fire, everybody.
Who's the
pitchers? Season's over.
Yeah. So Nathan Eovaldi gets a start for the Red
Garrett
Sox
Cole,
against Gerrit Cole.
Okay.
That'll be a good
Gerrit
nice.
Cole, future Cy Young winner. Some prop bets for NL Cy Young.
Ooh.
Brandon Woodruff on the Brewers, +1100. Aaron Nola, +1800.
You got your stats, too. You got your
thinking
numbers.
About
you got your numbers.
Thinking about it.
I'll go with my MVPs since we're like all over the place. AL MVP, I'm going to have to go Wander Franco. I think Tampa Bay Rays, despite not playing, making the playoffs, they paid their guy, even though he's making good money, but he could have made more. It's another story, discussion for a different day. But I think, 40 homers, a buck, 10 RBIs, guys probably going to – might have a chance at the Triple Crown this year.
And they're not
going
to make the playoffs.
No, you can have one guy just go off.
What did Shukri have to say?
Mike Trout,
does he know about your picks?
Yeah, he knows all about my picks.
Mike Trout has played like 4 playoff games
in his
career.
I know, that's fair. But, I mean, the Angels, they suck.
Again, and the Rays could too this year.
If you say the Rays suck, they've been in the mix for years now.
Yeah, Randy's getting figured out, though. Their pitching is
well, I want to know what Shukri said about your picks.
He thought it was kind of blasphemy, but I
putting
the,
it kindly.
On the other end, I think he had the Mets going to the World Series, so I called his bullshit too. So it was a bad good.
I like that. That's out of nowhere.
That's Mets gotta, to the World Series. Yeah, guy's losing his mind.
He's out of control.
Keep screaming.
Keep screaming.
This year, I got the Dodgers taking it all. You got a good feeling. I feel like Mookie Betts is going to get the MLB. MVP.
All
my guy. Couple.
You told Showtime stoned or he's exhausted. I just
I'm a little
how
bit
much
of
Apex,
both. I'm honestly a little bit of both.
How
right
much
now.
Apex you play today?
I had a long night last night. I went to Cousin Stiz last night.
Yeah, how'd that go?
So much fun. It was like 50 people at this private venue, like Pawtucket. Unbelievable. Could have did the meet and greet.
Boys were buzzing.
I couldn't go to the bed when I got home, though. Like, I came here, dropped off Justin, like literally stayed up till probably like 4:30 in the morning, just like could not. Get
happens.
A little bit tired, so
it happens.
Yeah, I'm feeling it right
energy
now.
Energy was high. Cousin Stiz, shout out.
Hey, I'm seeing him on the 22nd too at the Roadrunner in Austin. If anyone wants to go,
big plug there.
See
Unreal.
You there. Dabble, Cousin Stiz, that's a big.
Boston's finest.
I fuck with
finest.
Cousin Stiz.
That's the big.
Magic. I'll make you have one prediction for the whole time. Who's your World Series matchup, and who's gonna win? So
far,
Ray's
silence is definitely
Ray's. Rays Braves.
Rays versus anyone. Rays Braves.
Who won last year? The Braves?
Braves yeah. won.
Rays versus the field.
I thought the Dodgers won.
That's what my dad said to me. He's like, I couldn't tell you who won last year. I'm like, you're nuts.
Freddie Freeman.
I hate to say this against fucking Dakota, but baseball is kind of boring. I hate to say it. I hope they make it not boring this year somehow.
Yeah, I do agree. I think it should be like a shortened season, but then again, that's me just being saying baseball.
It would
is
fuck
boring.
Up everything though if they did that. Yeah, like, I agree. All the stats of all time.
Oh yeah, it would ruin it.
AL MVP. I got Vlad. Didn't win it last year because Ohtani did his thing. I think it's Vlad's year. NL MVP. I think it's Juan Soto in an absolute send off. I think he's gonna win it by miles. And then Gerrit Cole for AL Cy Young, Walker Buehler for NL Cy Young.
Everyone's all over Juan Soto for the NL MVP. I'm going to give you one that's pretty underrated. And, you know, I think he is a former NL MVP, but he was injured last year. How about Christian Yelich on the Milwaukee Brewers? I think that's a team that really is going to turn things around this year with a division outside of the Cardinals that really doesn't have anything going for him. So he can really just beat up on bad teams. And yeah, I could see this guy hitting, you know, in the 30s of home runs, hitting a high average 330, 340 with, you know, over 100 ribs. I think this is another guy who people aren't expecting, and there's a lot of candidates, don't get me wrong, but Christian Yelich, a name to look out for.
Yo, if Cody Bellinger doesn't win Comeback Player of the Year after batting like 160 last year, like that dude was an MVP himself. Like he has to, like if he hits like 260, he should win.
Yeah,
like,
at least he didn't go like 0 for 53 like Chris Davis did. Like that was bad.
Yeah, that guy, yes. Ugh.
Honestly, I was going to say about that guy Yelich, I completely forgot about that guy. But yeah, last year he was on fire. Like that guy couldn't be stopped. How many home runs did he have last year? Like
not last year.
It was the year before that when he was MVP.
Yeah, right. Is that when he won the home run derby?
I think he won one year. I can't recall in my head. I'd have to look it up.
Me and Showtime, let's just be honest here. We got to bone up on our fucking MLB. we have to bone up.
Baseball is definitely boring.
It is.
Dude. Come on.
I'm going to get it. Let's get a text thread going with Dakota and be like, just fill us in.
I can't even watch football. Like, I'm sick of sports, kind of like sometimes. Sometimes. Just watch it. I got spoiled too much. Like, I got sick of going to games. Like, it's bad around here. Like,
well, great transition because it's about to get hot here at the Garden, right?
Yeah. Boston Celtics. Actually, you know what? Before I do that, my prediction of the World Series, I'm with Showtime here with the Dodgers. I think they're a team that should not be beaten. If they lose, it's the biggest upset in years. Like last year, that was a big upset, them losing to the Braves. But this year, it's kind of a boring World Series prediction. I just think the Astros are a team that's been there and done that. And it's going to be Dodgers, Astros. Once again, the Dodgers become victorious.
Dodgers over White Sox, and I have that like right here, and I'm switching it. White Sox, fuck it. Dodgers can suck it. All right. I hate them.
Who did the Dodgers get that was their big pickup?
Freddie Freeman. Oh, who makes them even better, which is messed up.
It's awful.
Still can't guarantee wins, though. Unbelievable lineups. The Yankees will tell you that.
The Yankees didn't win the actual World Series, but they won like 110 games with those teams. Like, you win.
Doesn't matter. You know that doesn't matter still.
I know that. I'm not saying it does, but they're still going to be really good.
Transitioning on into the NBA as the Boston Celtics are now tied for second place in the Eastern Conference here. They're playing Milwaukee tonight. We're recording on Thursday night. Winner overtakes the second seed and we'll probably play, you know, seven seed in the first round. So great win the other night against Chicago. Just left no doubt. Jaylen Brown has been on an absolute tear. It's tough. Yeah, Rob Williams getting hurt out till probably the second round of the playoffs here.
Hate to see it.
But, you know, a lot of promise in this team. Al Horford is playing his best basketball he's played in quite a couple years. Jason Tatum. What is there more to say than that name?
Pretty good. Yeah.
He's been incredible. Decent. MVP candidate. But the thing I want to get down to is big game here tonight. Because should they win or should they lose? Because if they lose, they probably are going to get into the 3 or 4 seed where you have Toronto, which is a COVID savvy when you go and play them, or you got the Chicago Bulls in the 6 seed. And then a lot going on here. And if they win here, if they get the 2 seed, they're probably going to play Brooklyn. And then if they beat,
do you think Brooklyn's setting themselves up for that? I figure like they're losing game. They beat their Knicks game last night. Didn't
I
they?
Want the 2 seed because Brooklyn's gonna lose to play it. Not worried about him at all.
Also, won't be able to play. No, or do they change that?
No, he can play.
They play no defense. Fuck them.
You're relying on Cleveland to fucking beat them.
One time.
No. No.
Put in Taco Fall. I seen him been warming up. He's going to change the game. He's got it.
I don't like it, though. I think they should hope. They don't have Tatum, Horford. Anyone besides Brown playing tonight against Milwaukee, which is it's basically win or don't get the two seed. And I would like to see them tank in this game, and they're doing it. I think they're down by two right now. By the time you hear this episode, you'll know what's going on.
Those guys are all sitting?
Yeah, they're all out tonight.
You all reek of fear.
Which I like that. I don't reek of fear.
Reek of fear.
Oh, you want to play Brooklyn in the first round and then play Milwaukee? Or do you want to play the Raptors or Bulls in the first round and then the Heat in the second round? I'd much rather the second thing.
The team that gets put on the court out in front of them, we're going to kick their ass.
That's cute. The whole Mike Steele, feed me them. And then when you get to Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, they fucking smoke you as a seven seed.
That would be embarrassing.
There's a reason they're the second best team.
And it's going to feel great when we win.
They have the second best odds to win the Eastern Conference, and they're a goddamn eight seed right now. That should tell you everything. I fear the fuck out of the Brooklyn Nets. They smoked this last year. Wasn't even close.
Last year.
Yeah, this year I guess is new, but I'm just saying I would rather take my chances with Toronto Raptors when they beat our JV team. I think we could beat them. You saw what we did to Chicago Bulls last night.
Except if there's that vaccine issue.
That's a good call.
Give me the Bulls after how that game went.
I hope it works out. No, I want the Bulls. Feed me the Bulls.
Give me the Bulls. That's an easy win. Then get Robert Williams back. Yeah. And I don't give a fuck.
And then take down the Heat.
Like, I want the Bulls more than anything, but I'm not going to cowardly run away from the Nets.
No. If it comes, it's going to be like, all right, give me war.
Chestnut checkers.
I want that war to be in later rounds.
I agree. It's not smart. You can't sit here and say it's
speaking
smart.
Speaking of smart, Marcus Smart, defensive player of the year.
Smart. I want wins.
We might not win against the Nets.
Cowardly.
We might not beat them.
If they end up playing Brooklyn in the first round and we lose in 5-6 games, I'm coming for your head.
Steele's got a week suspension if that happens.
Not going to be worried. I'm not worried about
week suspension.
Week suspension.
I'm not worried about it.
That's a bold that's a bold take to say you're not worried about it.
They play no defense. They'll score 130. We'll score 140. I'm not worried.
But
you
got to play your best game to beat that team.
I don't think we do.
Time game
I don't
like
think
that.
They do.
I know we do.
I don't think they do.
That
team
do.
Stinks.
And we weren't good 30 games ago, but now we are. Like, what happens if that switch comes back against a great team?
And we're
like
missing the big man.
You're calling a great. You're calling a mediocre team great. That's what you're doing.
We're missing one of our top players. You're playing the Brooklyn Nets. You need to be a
they
fully loaded team.
They have two players and everyone else sucks.
I do not agree with that at all. They have Patty Mills. They have Seth Curry. They have all these guys who are great role players who can play.
You know what? Feed me
DeAndre
the Nets.
Drummond. No. You guys are feeding me.
Let's just see if we can handle it. If we can't handle the Nets, why even watch the rest of the playoffs? We can't handle them. But no, I take that back because we need fucking our big man.
We're not looking for first round wins.
Let's go.
I know you're with me, man.
Let's go.
You just want to take the other side.
Yeah, it's still getting me fired up, but we need the big
man.
Come on. No, we need
the
big man.
Feed me the Nets, dude.
Give me an easy team. Give me the Bulls. We kicked their ass last night. Give me the Bulls, the Cavs. I don't know if they're a possibility
anymore. I'd like the Bulls.
I
would like the Bulls
the most. The only teams I think you could play are basically Toronto Bulls or Brooklyn. Actually, that's a lot of teams, but you get what I'm saying.
I don't like that Toronto
No, I'd rather
one
the
either.
Bulls. No, I'd rather the Bulls or the Nets just because Toronto, I don't want to lose because of, like, our players have like some vaccine, but like that sucks.
Yeah.
Like that's nonsense. No, like, I'd rather like not
every,
have that happen.
Every team in Philly, Milwaukee, Boston, they all want to play the Bulls.
Yeah, like if Kevin Durant drops like 90, it's like, fuck, all right, that sucks. But like if like two of our best players can't play because of like some bullshit rule, that sucks.
And I think it's definitely Jaylen Brown. And I'm not sure who else. I think it's just Jaylen Brown, which is a bad loss.
They said like two big players, and I don't know. I mean, like that's just a tabloid thing. Like I don't know how big the second player is.
They said
like,
Horford was vaccinated.
Yeah, and they said Tatum too. I believe.
Tatum's like a no doubter.
So maybe it's smart. I have no idea. Like I could not tell you.
Jaylen Brown.
Oh no!
No, that's one. We might. We
how stoned
we
are you?
There. Yeah.
Stoned.
Hey, let him vibe.
Yeah, let him vibe.
It would be great if
I won't be a narc.
It would have been great if the Nets could face Miami round one because I think they could beat them.
Who?
Nets, Miami, like one seed, eight seed.
The Nets can beat anyone.
I know.
That's my point. You do not want to play a team in the first round that can beat anyone.
Agreed.
I don't think they can be.
And best. They have at his peak in it playing his best game. He's the best player in the world, Kevin Durant. No question. 100%. No questions asked. And right below that is the second team I'm afraid of in the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis.
They should be one.
Giannis. Yeah. What?
You should flop them. Is that because we might play the Nets earlier?
No. No. If we because
like the Bucks are way scarier. Than
the Bucks are the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, we'll 100%. See tonight. We'll see tonight. This is a little preview.
Because everyone's sitting out.
Yeah, because fucking Aaron Nesmith can't fucking
We're down by 7. I hope we lose by 40. Really kick everyone in the ass.
I hope we win by 40.
Good.
No chance.
All right, 10 minutes.
Aaron Nesmith.
10 minutes here, guys. Breaking news. The New England Patriots traded a 5th-round pick, right, for Devontae Parker.
Let's go. I'm not even sure what it was.
I don't even know. Yeah, it was a high draft
pick. It was nothing. Yeah, it was
low. Whatever you want to call it.
Nothing I'm worried about that we traded for him.
Devontae Parker, I think, great pickup. He always kills the Patriots. Is kind of like a great number two and like an okay number one.
He had that 1 year. He had like 1,200 yards.
Yeah, and he was kind of like a 1 year. Like the Dolphins there. They got Tyreek Hill. They have Jalen Waddle. So he was kind of just like extra guy for them. Well, on the other hand, we need a guy like that. So I think that's a good start. They're all working out in Florida right now.
Yeah, you already
Matt
joined
Jones,
the squad. Yeah,
Jacoby Myers, all the boys are down there ripping it. I think they're in Tampa. They're in Tampa.
No, and
I'm
like
trying
it,
to pick
it,
up on some magic down there.
It reminds me of LaFell. It reminds me of Brandon Cooks. Like he's that guy that can be on the outside and opens up everything for everybody. Because I mean, Jacoby Myers has been trying to be like our one, but if we can make it so that he's our two, I think that's great.
Now, do you think they're still like? We still have a chance at going at Alabama receiver in the first round? Or do you think like it's going to be more of a defensive front, offensive line type people? Because I don't know if they're going to go with Jameson Williams, Mechie, these
I
Alabama
think they are.
Receivers.
I think that was the receiver pick.
You think?
I think that was the receiver. The way that we operate, I think that was the receiver pick. I would much rather them get Jameson than Devontae. Like, I would rather them have done that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's the way they like. They don't like to draft receivers too much.
Are you guys laughing? Are you guys having fun?
I don't know what he's doing. Time is like
yeah, Craig's fucking
so weird.
Craig's on his fucking.
I don't know what he's doing.
We already got it. Yeah, we got into his night. You feeling good?
Feeling great.
Feeling great. You play good.
Feeling great. Pretty tired, but I'm pushing through.
I wish we had the zoom in camera just going on Craig this whole episode.
I've been like, what?
Yeah, just an isolated Craig camera.
There's definitely some scenes in here. I'll probably get some clip hits of me, like, I think, falling asleep while Adam's talking it. And I apologize. No disrespect to the boys. Just grinding today, doing clips, watching anime, watching.
Hey, grinding away, watching anime.
Respectfully.
Hey, you got to take breaks. Everyone takes a break.
Yeah. I've taken a break. I've taken a break before.
You guys have taken a break
before. Yeah, dude.
Take a playoff. Take a playoff.
Yeah, take a play. Take a breather.
Yeah. Nice breather. Yeah. You know
Can we get into the Monday night game? The
We haven't
finale?
Talked about that. Yeah, that was great.
This once again got a bone up. I don't even know what Devontae Parker is. That is what it is.
Yeah,
that is what it is.
Well,
I like what you guys are saying about.
Yeah.
Good pick
game.
By the Pats.
Great game.
Who played? You wanted
Kansas
to talk
UNC.
About this. There we go.
It was a great game. I was here to the end.
Oh, yeah. Any like further? What else? Like,
takeaways? I feel bad. UNC looked like they got banged. Their ankles were weak, or maybe the court's fucked up. Guys were breaking ankle or rolling ankles.
That
left and
last
right.
Play, the tall guy like falling and tripping and like missing that easy like layup. Whatever that.
There
guy
were a lot
was,
of missed layups.
That,
in that
guy
game.
Was falling apart towards the end. Yeah, that was honestly UNC's game to give away, and they kind of blew
it
towards the end.
That halftime lead was bad.
Down to 15, but they did that earlier in the tournament against Baylor. They were up by like 25, and they blew a 25-point lead. I knew Kansas. It just has an offense that runs up and down. I'm forgetting names, but number 30 was a savage for them all tournament. But how about low key the most clutch shots of that night? My boy Remy Martin, 2 3-pointers. Get in there like swimwear and don't hold back.
That
was great.
No, that was a great response by Kansas because the end of the first half wasn't just like they were open and missing their shots. Like, that was a fucking beatdown.
Oh, they were getting their ass
like,
kicked.
The second, like, the end of that first half was a massacre.
Like a 15-0 run.
And it was a 15-0 run of, like, every shot Kansas threw up was, like, smashed into, like, the third row. Like, it was a fucking bloodbath.
Yeah, like.
And then it pretty much went exact opposite.
Yeah,
it
went complete opposite.
I kind of knew that was going to happen. Kansas definitely has a conditioning over UNC, and they were, like, same thing, trying to blow their load. especially with that player that had the hurt ankle. He obviously wasn't 100%. Like, probably had that.
One thing that shocked me too with Kansas too was I fully expect, like, Kansas is one of the, they're one of the greats of college basketball. I expected them to make a comeback, it to end up being a game. They made it a game with like 12 minutes left in the second half. Like, they came back like much quicker than
like,
I thought.
Like that.
They came back much quicker like than I thought they would. I knew they would come back, but it was much
quicker.
And
I give North Carolina a lot of credit for having a lot of resiliency.
They came back in
there.
They
stuck in it. They stayed
in. Kansas went up like, they were so hot, they started getting up seven. Momentum was ridiculously not in their favor. They stuck around.
Yeah, they did.
Till the end.
I'll get into my wagers a little bit. So I had Kansas like plus 1,200 to win the tournament, begin the tournament. So when they got to the championship, I'm like, all right, we already won. So I hedged them with North Carolina. And then I was just like, all right, I had an extra 100 on the table. So I said, take overtime. So, like, for them to get the overtime,
like,
just plus 1,500, I still like that pick.
Yeah.
And, like, it after, like,
it was very close.
If you remember, the last 10 seconds, a tough three miss and then out of bounds. And then Kansas, the guy steps out of bounds. So there's 5 seconds left. So I'm like, yo, if they hit this, this is banana land. I don't even care who wins. I'll cash out with that, go to OT. Like, they could tie for, like, and I'd probably still win. Like, I loved every part of it.
I thought Kansas would win and was kind of rooting for them that whole game up until that kid stepped out of bounds. And then I was like, fuck him. Yeah. I was like, UNC nailed this shot and win an OT.
It was like, awful that kid, shot, too.
That kid flirted.
That would have been ridiculous if they imagine blowing it like that.
That
like,
kid flirted with being one of the biggest losers in sports history. Like, that's what was on the table there. He was so lucky
really
that shot.
Teetering on the line.
Caleb Love.
Nice.
Wow.
Showtime's awake.
We're back.
I'm in my zone, baby. Wait for this interview. Nick Fiore. You're getting crazy.
Caleb Love, who airballed basically the last two shots, was absolutely money for them down the stretch in the tournament. But how don't you set it up for him? And this is just the whole thing that Steph Curry, all these three-pointers set up. He took like a
16 seconds left. He was like 8 feet behind the 3-point line.
He's in no man's land.
Like 10 seconds left on the shot clock, too.
Have him cut around.
Very
bad. Beat the guy he's on. Fucking.
They're lucky they got another chance after that. And then he misses the next one, too.
That would have been to Steele's point.
Is that guy going to be in the NBA? Because I fuck with him.
Caleb Love definitely will be in the NBA.
All right, good.
He was so fucking fast, dude. Up and down the court. Holy shit, that guy.
He gives me ASAP Rocky type of vibes.
Yeah.
For what that's worth.
Nice, man.
I was called a menace to society.
Yeah, nice.
All right. We'll let it ride.
Great tournament, though.
Great tournament.
What madness, you know?
I think the tournament delivered on
much.
All aspects.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about some highlights. Who's your favorite from the March Madness tournament? I have to go Doug from St. Peter's. Come on.
Oh, I mean, you're stealing everyone's pick. And the best part of them, they all left.
Coach left. The three best players were like, we're leaving too.
Yeah.
St. Peter's.
All going to get money because you can get money now.
St. Peter's is back to being a YMCA little school.
I might apply.
And you can interrupt and be like, okay, like they kind of did dirty to them. I'm like, no, they just got their moment and they got out of there. That school will never be back. And then I will call that right now, ever again.
Ever again.
So get the hell out of there. You made your mark. Now go play for like Dayton or like Davidson.
No, when you
or
walk away
like
from
that.
God, Western bad Kentucky. Things happen. When you walk away from God like that, bad things will happen.
No.
All those
magic knows some experience.
Yeah.
That's not God. That's the St. Peter's Peacocks. You walk away 100%. You walk away 1,000,000,000%.
I like the, is that white guy who was on North Carolina going to make the NBA, you think?
I don't know. I don't know his draft
stuff. After that game.
I know Caleb Love definitely will. We have to close here because we're starting the interview up. Any last remarks? I watched a full 18 holes of Tiger Woods today, opening round, 1 under.
He's
that
on
was
right
now. That was terrific.
Is this a replay?
Yeah, it's a replay. It
Saturday night, Kams at Kamaev. Let's go.
Folks, want to thank you for tuning in, as well as Nick Fury for coming on and Hedgebetter for making this all possible. Big shout out to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance and Braintree and the law offices of Patrick J. Foley. Keep out for our Laying Down the Law picks this Saturday. Anyone got anything else to add?
We didn't. Never mind. Shout out Happy Dad.
We want the cup.
Shout out the Scrambled Pod.
Shout out Imposters NFT. Boom.
That's all from Steel and Naz. Be safe out there. And have a day, have a weekend. Masters, baseball, let's go.
Woo!